start it again.
We believe when you touch Jesus, your life would never be the same. Learn how to respond right to fear. Amen. Everybody has fear in their life. Everybody deals with fear in some shape or form. But God wants us to be able to overcome fear. Amen. Overcoming fear is a powerful thing. Amen. God wants us to help us to get the right response to fear. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. He says, "Know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be boasters, men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, amen, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded." Amen. He uses these terms. "Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof," the Bible says, "from such turn away." In Luke chapter 21, it says it like this. It says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking for those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven to be shall be shaken." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So I believe that through this text of scripture today, God wants to help us to understand how to deal with the fear that's in our life. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the word of God today. We thank you for this time that we gathered together in your name. I pray that you would just hide me behind your cross. Give me the words to say, a timely word for this hour, for this moment. And God, we just give your name praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God wants to help us to overcome fear. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are an overcomer." Amen. Praise God. So what is fear? What is fear? Amen. Amen. The Bible lets us, there's a lot of things that we can say about fear, but the dictionary definition of fear, at least one dictionary, it says this: fear is alarm, dread, all imply a painful emotional experience when one is confronted or threatened by danger or evil. Fear. You know, fear comes in basically four different areas of our life. Amen. There's four different responses to fear that we can give. We can face fear, you know, by facing it, you know, confronting it. We can flee fear by allowing it to paralyze our lives and not doing anything. Or we can run from the fear. You know, I don't want to come around it because it's I'm afraid of it. We can faint from it, meaning that we become paralyzed and can't do anything. Or we can fight it. We can fight. We can say, "I'm going to fight it. I can fight fear." But some fear, it comes upon us from the outside. Some fear you can't control. It just happens. It just comes on the outside. I mean, a fear like an impending loss, you know. Amen. That can bring fear in our lives. Or an unexpected change, you know. I mean, come on, you know, in the last few months, we cannot say that nobody expected we'd ever be at the place that we are right now. This unexpected change has caused all types of trauma to come in people's lives about fear. They're afraid of the economy. They're afraid of what's going to happen next. They're afraid if we're going to ever going to recover. They're afraid of being affected with the virus. Fear has come upon people's lives. Now, I know in the church, we don't fear anything in the church. You know, we're strong, right? Amen. We're strong. And it's easy to make those declarative statements. You know, "I'm not going to be afraid. You know, I'm not afraid of this coronavirus. I'm not afraid of you doing this. I'm not going to function in fear." But God, there's some things about fear that we just have to know. Fear, some fear, it comes from within us. Some fear is birthed out of our own personal experiences. Do you realize that? Fear is something that is learned. I mean, you know, my granddaughter, she likes to do all kind of stuff. She's learning as she grows and gets a little older. She just turned 5. As she gets a little older, that she, you know, falling off stuff is not always fun, right? I mean, she don't mind climbing up on things and getting up on things, and she wants to get up high and stuff. But she's found out that ground is hard. Amen. And so she's a little bit more reserved with her exploits, you know. We was watching the SpaceX launch yesterday and saw the guys, you know, they go up 220 feet just to get into the spaceship, you know. And I says, look how tall they are. She said, I don't want to get up there. I don't want to go up there. It's too high. He said, I'm afraid I might fall. You know what I mean? I mean, fear is something that's learned, because if you fall from a short area and you get hurt, falling from a larger platform just means I'm going to make a bigger impact and I'm going to hurt more. You know, I mean, so fear comes, it's birthed out of experiences. You know, I mean, I watch these YouTube videos when they have all these animals fighting each other, and you know, and they always have these big snakes, you know, on these YouTube videos. You know, we don't have snakes in Hawaii, so everybody in Hawaii is afraid of snakes because they don't have any experience with them. So, you know, but you see these young little boys grabbing these snakes by the tail and just pulling them out of, you know, they seem like they have no fear. He said, aren't you afraid it's going to bite you? My wife is, she's in dread right now just thinking about a snake. You know, but experience causes us to have fear just from going through things. Look what Abraham said. Abraham said, and this is in Genesis 20, verse 11. Abraham said, because I thought, everybody say that. He thought. He said, because I thought that surely the fear of God is not in this place, they will slay me for my wife's sake. This is when he decided to tell the king of that land that his wife was not his wife, but was his sister, because he was afraid, because he didn't think God was in that place. There's no fear of God. Have you ever felt like there's no fear of God? You know, I mean, you know, when bad things happen, you know, we really want action to be taken, but when there's a fear of God, we recognize there's some limits to what we should do. Because we don't respond with evil for evil, but we overcome evil with what? Oh, somebody been reading their Bible. Praise Jesus. Amen. We must be in a Pentecostal church. They read their Bibles. Amen. We overcome evil with good. So experience, you know, experience can bring fear. Not only experience, but expectation can be a source of fear. When we expect things to happen, expectation, look what it says here, amen. He says, let me see if I can get over to it. Expectation, let me see if I can bring it up. Back up. I want to read this. Genesis 21, verse 17. He says, God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now, let me give you some background on what is taking place. Hagar was the handmaiden of Sarah that was given to Abraham to have a child with because Sarah was barren. Well, when Sarah became pregnant, she decided that Hagar had no more place in the house. So she told him, you got to get rid of this woman. I don't want her around anymore, because her son is not going to be the heir of the throne. So here it is. This woman has grown up in Abraham's house. Abraham was the patriarch. He was a wealthy man she had not a care in the world. But all of a sudden, she went from having everything she needed to kicked out of the house, and she's out in the middle of the desert with nothing but a bag of food and her child. And she was ready to just give up and die. Because her expectation was that, hey, I'm going from this place of abundance to this place of extreme lack in just a moment. In a moment's time, she was kicked out. And now she's left on her own. And she's crying out to God. She said, and it's interesting how God asks, what is ailing you? What is your problem? I've heard the cry of the child. I've heard. So sometimes expectation can be a source of fear. When we say, oh, well, you know what? It happened again. Anybody said that? It's going to happen again. I see the handwriting on the wall. It's going to happen again. We begin to let our expectations be a breeding ground for fear. Also, our emotions become a breeding ground for fear. You know, our emotions, they begin. Hey, in Judges chapter 7, Gideon is building his army. Right? I was a recruiter for the army, so I was a recruiter. So we used to go and talk to people about joining up. But our goal was always to put more people in, not to get more people out. I mean, but here he is here in chapter 7. It says, therefore, go and proclaim it to the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount of Gilead. And their return, from the people, 22,000 left that day just because they was afraid. They're getting ready to go and fight an enemy. And the first thing he says to them is that if you're afraid, go home. If you don't want to be in the battle because of fear, go home. And 22,000, 10,000 people remained. I mean, we don't build armies like that. We never tried to build armies down. We try to build them up, you know. But God would use him to do a mighty work. The Bible, it tells a lot about fear in both positive and negative terms. So positive fear, we look at the fear of the Lord. Very positive thing. It's looked at as a positive thing in the scripture. Look what it says here. It says, Job 28:28. It says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Goes on to say here in Psalms 111 verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So both of these texts of scriptures, they link the fear of the Lord with both wisdom and understanding. These things right here are linked to the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord actually becomes the foundation for us to have understanding and wisdom. Got through the fear of the Lord. And then it goes on. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, and the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So he says, look, another thing that we see that comes from the fear of the Lord is longevity. Life longevity. It comes from the fear of the Lord. Amen. God wants us to fear him. To understand longevity. Okay, Psalms chapter 36, verse 1, the transgression of the wicked shall say in his heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the big transgression of the wicked. You know, I understand the type of mindset that comes when we see a tragedy like, you know, what happened this past week with George Floyd, and, you know, the whole deal with the officer and things like that took place. But the response has been the thing that has really, really kind of got my head spinning. How is burning down a building or putting a car on the fire fix anything? It doesn't fix a thing. But that's people that operate in fear. See, fear loves crowds, you know, because it can hide in the crowd, you know. Fear can hide in the crowd. I mean, if you get enough people going in the same direction, fear can hide, be right there in it, and it can hide in the crowd, and no one need to know that you were there. And people use that as an opportunity to do things that they shouldn't. See, it's easy to do what's wrong when there's no fear of God. When there's a fear of God, it's hard to do evil. It's hard to do what's wrong, because when you have a fear of God, that reverence for God, you want to do what pleases him. You want to do what's right. When there's no fear. And I believe in a way that in our nation that we've lost the fear of God. You know, it's time. You know what? We need. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and I told them, it's like, well, are you having the service? I said, yeah, we need to have church, because our nation, we need God right now. We need God really to show up in our churches, in our communities afresh. I mean, and I'm not saying God was absent because there was no church. I'm saying, but we need something to refocus our minds on the plans and purposes of God. Because when we're left to our own devices, it seems like we just get crazy. Amen. We get crazy. There's no fear. Look, so positive fear, the fear of the Lord is a positive fear. The other thing, the fear, it honors God's will. The fear of the Lord honors God's will. You know, it's really interesting. I looked up the word fear, and when I was looking up, looking at the Hebrew word for fear, there were several different words, and all of them kind of looked at the same way. You had dread, you had being afraid, you know what I mean, anxious. You had all these terms that was very, very negative. But in the midst of all of those terms was this word, to honor. I was like, wow. I mean, in the midst of all of those negative words that had to do with being frightened of being scared, was this word honor. And many times that part of the word we miss. I mean, in Genesis 22, we see Abraham went to offer up his son as a sacrifice to the Lord. And when he was getting ready to drive the knife through his son, the angel says to him, "Fear not, neither do anything to him." He says, "For now I know that thou fearest God." Right? And I don't believe he's saying that you dread me, that you were so afraid that you was going to do this out of fear. I believe that he was saying that you have honored me. You've honored me. See, God has already spoken to Abraham. He says, "Abraham," he says, "I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." He said, "Man, I'm your protection and I'm your strength. I'm everything that you have need of. I'm right here." God has given him promises. He promises before his eyes. Negative fear, most of the time when you see negative fear in the Bible, they're speaking of fear of man as opposed to God. The fear of man. The Bible says it like this: the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh, come on, somebody. You ought to get excited about it. Amen. It brings a snare. But he says, the fear of the Lord, that's to put their trust in the Lord, shall be safe. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, one of my favorite verses. He says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins." You say, "Well, what does that mean?" You know, in the scriptures, they wore these long robes, and they had the sash that went around them. And whenever they got a chance to go somewhere fast, they would take that sash and run it between their legs and pull it up. And now they have pants. They can move quickly and freely. That means to gird up, to get ready. Amen. To get ready. He says, "I want you to arise, and I want you to speak to all of them that I command you." He said, "And do not be afraid of their faces, lest I confound thee before them." He let him know. He says, Jeremiah, God was preparing Jeremiah because he told Jeremiah, "I'm going to send you to a people and you're going to speak to them, but none of them are going to listen to you." Man, you're talking about frustration. That's frustration right now. You're not going to be effective in your ministry because your ministry is more connected to what I'm telling you to do than what you can see the outcomes of, you know. We want to be outcome-based in most of the things that we do. The fear of man. So God teaches us to help us not to be afraid, have fearful of man. Or this word, intimidation. Don't be intimidated by what man can do. In Numbers chapter 13, this is intimidation right here. The spies have gone into the land to spy out the land. 12 spies go in. 10 spies come out, and they give this report. They say, "Yes, it's a place that flows with milk and honey. It's just as God promised, but there are giants in the land." He said, there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which have come from giants. Amen. These are giants from giants. Come on. Amen. Amen. And he says, "We are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight as well." He said, "They can squash us. We're nothing in comparison to them." This is intimidation that we see that's happening. The Bible says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." This is what Solomon said, the wisest man that ever spoke. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments." This is the whole duty of man. This is everything that God has called us to do. It's to fear him and to know him. I love this. Humility before God brings boldness before men. That means the closer you are to God, the more solid, the more foundational, the more encouraging the word that you have to others will be. You can stand boldly before men if you be humble before God. Sometimes I feel that we as a church family sometimes get this backward. We think that we can command God. "God, you got to do this for me." That we're twisting God's arm and making him work in our behalf. You need to know God wants to do something. But boldness before God will bring humility before men. If you try to be bold before God, amen, he said he will humble you before men. God wants us to understand this. He says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." Amen. He says, "Humble yourselves therefore before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Can I encourage you today? Can I encourage you to work? God really wants to lift you up. He really wants to exalt you. But exaltation with the Lord, it is the fruit of humility before him. Now, humility, we kind of get that word mixed up because we think it means just being passive and let people run. No, to be humble before God means to be more sensitive to what God desires to do in your life than what you desire to do. Being sensitive to him, that's that humility that we find before God. So there is a season that God wants to open up in your life. Amen. The Bible says you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth his fruit in his season. God has a season for your harvest. God's got a due time for you to come forth. And God said, but God wants us to understand that fear would always be a factor in our lives, but we must know how to respond to the fear, how to respond to it, how to deal with fear. In a fear fight, we must understand, we must honor God always. We must always honor God in a fear fight. I mean, even when I'm afraid, God, what is it that you desire for me to do? We want to honor God in that fight. We need to submit fully to his authority and say, God, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And I'm going to trust you with everything in my being. Trusting God means everything. That is how we fight this fight. He says it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to put your trust in him. Say, God, what do you desire? What do you want in my life? I'm leaning upon you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. How many want your path to be directed by God? Amen. You want your path to be directed by God. The Bible says that the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delight in his ways. I want my steps to be ordered by the Lord. Fighting fear is a matter of trust. Who do you trust? You know, I talked about my granddaughter and her, you know, having this thing about heights as she gets a little older. But you know what? She don't mind jumping up in my hand and me swinging her up in the air. Woo, woo. You know, you throw her, and she's just like, I'm just having so much fun. You know why? Because her trust is not in her ability to keep me from falling, but her trust is in the one that's holding her. He says, I trust you, Papa, that you're not going to let me fall. No matter how high you throw me up, you're going to catch me. Right? Where do you put your trust today? It's a matter of trust. We have to trust God for his provision in our lives. Do you know that God is a provider? Amen. Amen. He's a provider. Amen. Genesis 22:18. He said, oh, I love this, because Abraham was walking with his son to offer him up as a sacrifice, and he's going up, and his son, being the bright young man that he is, he says, Father, I have a question for you. He's like, what is it, my son? He says, well, I see the fire, and I see the wood for the sacrifice, but where is the offering? Where is the offering for the sacrifice? Abraham could have looked at him and says, my son, I got bad news for you. You are the offering. Amen. You are the sacrifice. That's when this young man takes off and runs the other way, you know. Amen. He says, no, I'm not going to go on the altar. No, but Abraham is a man of faith. He has already left the rest of his entourage back at another place. And he said to them, hey, me and the lad are going to go yonder to worship, and we will be back. Come on, somebody. He already knows that God has a plan for Isaac, because the Bible, he's got a word from the Lord that told him it's through Isaac that all of the world is going to be blessed. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but some way, somehow, amen, we know that we're coming back. We know that this right here is not the end. Amen. God got you. You've got a plan. And so he looks at his son and said, my son, God shall provide for himself a burnt offering. Amen. God is going to do it. Amen. Amen. We need to know that when God has made us a promise, there's going to be fears that arise up in our life. But we need to stay true to the promise. Hold on to what God has said. God has said some things, amen, that made a difference. Trusting God in his provision. Trusting God, amen, in his power. How many of you know God is all powerful, amen? Amen. Praise God. Sister Elizabeth, she said, yep, I know that. Amen. God is all powerful. He can do anything but fail. Amen. He is our God. Amen. He is omnipotent. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. Amen. You know what I love about God? That he described himself as I am. Amen. Not I was, not I want to be, but I am. I'm exactly what you need. He's the complete God. Amen. Amen. That means when my wife calls upon God, she gets everything God is. Amen. Amen. You know what? Her prayer is not diminished when someone else calls upon God. Amen. He's not distributing his power. When you call on him, you get all of him. Isn't that good to know? You get all of him. He says, in the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even this for this purpose, I raised thee up that I might show my power in thee. He raised up an evil king that would afflict God's people so that he can demonstrate and show his power. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but let me say this to you. That could it be that God wants to demonstrate his power in your life? In the circumstances that you face, in the trials that you deal with, in the relationships that you have, God wants to demonstrate his power in your life. Amen. And we need to let him do that. Let him demonstrate his power. And not only that, we also see his presence and how his presence is at work in our life to help us understand fully who God is. His presence makes all the difference in the world when we know the presence of God. Amen. He says, and the Lord said, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Can I say that to you? Fear not, for the Lord says, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. In the middle of your struggle, I'm with you. I don't abandon you when you hit crisis moments. I am with you. He says, I am with you, and I'm there to bless you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. One of the things I love about God is that when we begin to understand the right response that God has, it is connected to a revealed truth that there is a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear that can come upon you and that can try to debilitate your ability to be able to fulfill all that God has for your life. But God has created a plan for that fear. See, fear seeks to take a place in your heart. Fear, it wants to take a place, a residency in you to keep you from being able to move forward in the things that God has. Fear will take a place, will take up place in your mind. It seeks that. It seeks to paralyze you and to keep you from the promise that God has for your life. Amen. But I hear a song that I heard from from the godfather of gospel music, they call him. His name was James Cleveland. Says, I don't feel no ways tired. He said, I come too far from where I've started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe. Sister Pam, he said, I don't believe that you brought me this far to leave me. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't believe you brought me this far. I believe that you brought me here for a purpose. I believe that there's purpose in my life and in my heart. And so the Bible lets us know, cast not therefore your confidence away. Cast not away therefore your confidence where there is recompense of great reward. God's got a great reward for you. Hold on to your confidence that God has given you. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. God wants to give you his promises. Amen. He wants to release his promises in your life. You know? And God has some promises for us. Amen. You know, but fear would try to keep you from your promises. Let me kind of wrap this up. Right connection is a response to revealed truth. It's also a response to the goodness of God, to know the goodness of God. Because God has given us some things, amen? He's given you power, man. He's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind. The Bible says, amen, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, amen. It's Pentecost Sunday, amen. God wants to endue you with power, amen, to empower you to be effective in your way, in your witness, in your walk, and the way that you would go. God wants you to be effective in all that he's called you to do. So he gives us power. He gives us love. The Bible tells us that love, it covers a multitude of sin. He says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. What is he saying? He says fear would keep love from having its full operation in your life because there's no fear in love. Amen. He lets us know that. He gives us, not only that, he gives us a sound mind. The Bible says that we should have the mind of Christ. He says, so let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He says, but in verse number, I believe it's 8, he says, but being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. So that means that the plan that God has for us, it's for us to know who we are in Christ Jesus, but humble ourselves before him that we might obey him. It is a humility toward obedience, not a humility just toward submission for submission's sake, but it's a humility toward obedience, obedient action that causes us to fulfill God's plan for our lives. So God has called us. Listen to this. God has not called us to fight fear. That's not our battleground. He's not called us to fight fear. He has called us to fight the fight of faith. Right? The fight of faith. Amen. I mean, it's difficult to understand that when fear rises, I have to resist fear. No, you don't have to resist fear. You just need to have faith. Faith has to do with where your confidence lies. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life wherein you're called and has professed a good profession among many witnesses. Look, God wants us to understand this. He said, for in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me and set my feet upon a rock. God said he wants our confidence to be in him. Our faith is the real fight. Amen. It's the real fight. God wants us to fight this fight of faith. Amen. And when we fight this fight of faith, we begin to see God's plan unfold in our life. Let me share one more scripture to you. He says, in order for us to win this battle over fear, we have to be people of a different spirit. God has to give us a different spirit. Let's see if I can bring it up. The song is in my head now. Okay, all right. He wants to give us a spirit, a different spirit. I don't know, Brother Frank, if you can bring that up back there. I don't know. That slide that says another spirit. Can you bring that slide up for me? Okay. But God wants to give us another spirit. And this is what happened. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, the Bible talks about Joshua and Caleb. And he says Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he was able to go into the promised land and possess it and all of his family. Let me see. Here it is. He said here, God has to give us another spirit. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherewith he shall go in and possess it. Why? Because he had a new spirit, a different spirit with him. He had a spirit of faith that was activated by the word of God. His report was connected to this word of faith. His report was connected to a walk of faith and a work of faith that happened in his life. He saw all of the things that God had promised, and what he saw was God is faithful. God's doing what he said he's going to do. Amen. And we're more than able to go in and conquer the land because of God's power, because of what God is doing. Amen. God is faithful to us, man. He's at work in our life, man. What a wonderful God we serve. Overcoming fear. The right response to fear is not to try to battle fear, but the right response to fear is to have the faith of God. Amen. To know in whom we put our trust and to walk with him and let him be real and let him be alive in our life. But when we trust in the Lord, amen, God helps us to overcome the fear in our lives. Father, thank you so much, oh God, for your grace.